Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's number one best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Recovering from Traumatic Experiences.
I want us to look at the subject of recovering from traumatic experiences. Recovering from traumatic experiences. We're in this series called Rethinking Your Life. And we're rethinking different areas of our life. And one of the areas that we're going to have to rethink to be all that God wants us to be is rethinking how we handle traumatic experiences in life. Now, let me start by just giving you a definition of trauma. I wrote it down. Trauma is an experience of feeling either overwhelmed or helpless or paralyzed. Overwhelmed, helpless, paralyzed, maybe frightened by a deeply distressing event. That's what trauma is, being overwhelmed or paralyzed or frightened or just feeling helpless by some kind of deeply traumatizing event in your life. Now, trauma can come from a lot of different places. It can come from abuse. It can come from abandonment. It can come from, mistreatment. It can come from betrayal. It can come from rejection. It can come from abandonment. Obviously, the death of a loved one can be very traumatic. Divorce can be traumatic. A deeply distressing event in your life, a violent accident, being a victim of a crime can be like a scam. You've been scammed. You were swindled. That can be traumatizing. But the kind of trauma that I want us to focus on this weekend is the kind that has occurred when an evil person traumatizes you with their evil, either an abuse or in some way you have been traumatized by the actions of another person. I'm not talking about hurricanes. I'm not talking about, a bankruptcy. I'm talking about when you've been traumatized by the actions of somebody else who was very hurtful, maybe violent toward you. Now, at some point in your life, you're going to have the most traumatizing event. Mine was 6 years ago when my youngest son took his life after struggling with mental illness for his entire life. Nothing I can imagine would be more traumatic than losing my son who took his own life. But every day in the world, there are evil people doing evil things to innocent people. And that's what I want us to talk about this weekend. Every day there's injustice. Every day there is bigotry. There's bias. There is prejudice. There's unfairness, things like that. And as I said, at some point, you're going to face trauma in your life. So what does God say about it? What does God say about evil? And what does God say about trauma? Now, when we talk about this, the first thing that people always ask is, okay, this is a good question. If God is truly good, if God is truly loving, if God is so loving and good and gracious, why didn't he just get rid of evil? Why didn't he just wipe it out? Why does he let bad things happen to good people? Why didn't he just wipe out all kinds of evil? What's a good question? It's a legitimate question. First, you have to define evil. What is evil? Because we always think evil is something out there. Evil is anything that opposes God, rebels against God, disobeys God, rejects God, or ignores God. Now, if that's what evil is, the opposite of what God is good and evil is the opposite of God, then I have made evil choices in my life, and so have you. So have you. You have not always done what God said to do. You have not always done what's best for other people. You have made evil choices, and I have made evil choices too. The Bible says no one gets off clean on this one. And so really the answer of why does God allow evil in the world? Why didn't he just wipe out evil right now? The answer actually has two parts. The first is, in fact, God is going to wipe out evil one day. At the end of history, he's going to send all evil to hell. The Bible says hell was created for evil. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And God is going to banish it all, and there'll be an eternal punishment in hell. God is going to end evil one day. You say, well, why doesn't he do it right now? Well, he could. In fact, God could eliminate evil instantly by doing one simple thing. Take away our freedom to choose. Because where does evil come from? Our bad choices. See, if God took away my freedom to choose, your freedom to choose, then there wouldn't be any evil in the world. Everything would always be good, but you would have no choice about it. You would always do the right thing. You would never do anything wrong. You'd never do anything selfish. You'd never do anything unkind. You'd never do anything hurtful. It'd be real simple. God takes away your freedom of choice, and there would be no evil. Now, I need to give you a little backstory on why you exist. The first thing is the Bible says God is love, that God is a God of love, and you were created to be loved by God. That's why you exist. God made you to love you. God wanted a family. God wanted children. That's the first thing you need to know. The whole reason you exist is because God made you to love you. And if he hadn't wanted to love you, you would not exist. God made you to love you. God wanted children to love. Second thing you need to know is he wants you to love him back. Nothing wrong. Every parent understands that. Every parent wants their kids to love them back. God wants you to love him back. But here's the issue. Love cannot be coerced. It can't be forced. You can't make people love you. Anybody who's been through a divorce knows that. You couldn't make somebody fall in love with you. You can't make somebody stay in love with you. Love cannot be forced. It has to be voluntary. It has to be willing. It has to be a choice. If there's no choice, there's no love. Does that make sense? Okay, so I can't love God unless I have the freedom to not love him. Does that make sense? It's not real love. If I'm forced to love him, then I'm just a puppet. I'm a marionette on strings, and it's not real love. So God gave you the freedom to choose. That's your greatest blessing, and it's your greatest curse. And all of the evil that exists in the world is because we were given the freedom to choose, and we don't always choose to do what's right. In fact, people to choose to do wrong all the time. I do, you do, and everybody else does. Hitler did, and everybody else. God could easily get rid of evil, just take away our freedom to choose. It is the alternative or the alternative that allows you to willingly love him. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you the freedom to choose. And you can either accept me or reject me. You can obey me or you can disobey me. You can love me or not love me. You can trust me or you can distrust me. You can doubt me. That's all. God gives you that freedom. You're free to make any choice you want. You're not free from the consequences of it, but you are free to make your choice. And so God could have just taken away all of our freedom, and then we wouldn't have any evil in the world. The Bible says every human being has made wrong choices, and that's called sin. I've made wrong choices, you have too. There have been times I say, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm gonna do what I think's best because I think I know better than God. I think this will give me more pleasure. I think this will make me more happy. I think this is what I want. It's not what other people want. It's not what God wants. It's what I want. And that's called sin. Now, here's what the Bible says. Look at the verse, Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. That's Adam. And with sin came death. Did you know that before Adam sinned, there was no death? Adam could have just lived for eternity on earth in the Garden of Eden, could have lived for eternity in paradise. But the moment sin and evil entered the world, God goes, I don't want you living on a planet where there's sin and evil for eternity. And so death entered the world. I'm glad I don't have to live on this planet for eternity. I want to live forever. I just don't want to live where there's suffering and sorrow and sadness and sickness and disease and death and depression and racism and all the other problems in the world. I just don't want to live there for eternity. I want to live for eternity. I just want to live in a perfect place. And once earth was broken by sin and death, God says, well, you're not going to live here forever. Now it says, notice that verse, it says, sin came into the world because of what one man did. He chose between the knowledge of good and evil, and he chose evil. And with sin came death. By the way, not just death came with that. Sin created a lot of other problems too. Let me read you a list. I made this list yesterday. None of the things on this list were in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. Decay, damage, debauchery, debt, disabilities, deceit, defeat, defiance, defilement, dehumanization. None of these were in the Garden of Eden. Delusions, dementia, depravity, deprivation, deviance, dictators, disunity, deportation, despotism, disloyalty, disgrace, depression, destruction, devastation, desertion, distress, disease, divorce, dysfunction. None of these were in paradise. Distrust, disputes, destitution, disease, disasters, desperation, and despair. That's what sin brought into the world. So you want to know why there's suffering in the world? There's suffering in the world because of sin and evil. And why is there sin and evil in the world? Because God gave us the choice. And none of us have chosen correctly all the time. Now, let me give you a couple other things the Bible says about it. Number two, everything on earth, this leads to the second one, everything on earth is broken by sin and by evil. Everything on earth is broken by sin and by evil. Nothing on this planet works correctly all the time. The only thing perfect on planet Earth is God's word. But our relationships are broken, the weather is broken, the economy is broken, your body is broken. It does. Have you noticed your body doesn't always work correctly? Have you noticed your relationships don't always work correctly? The economy doesn't always work correctly? Nothing works correctly because we live now on a planet broken by evil and by sin. Now, Jesus warned, in the world you will have tribulation. Count on it, because we're on a broken planet. This is not heaven. We want earth to be heaven. Heaven, everything is perfect. It works perfectly. God's will is done completely, instantly, continuously, quickly, all the time. None of that's true on earth. God's will is done seldom, incompletely, incorrectly, and often just ignored. That's why James says in the book of James, he says, don't be surprised when you have trials on the earth. You don't need to be surprised. This is not heaven. That's the place that's perfect. Things don't work here. Nothing works perfectly here. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, there will be more and more evil in the world, so most people will stop showing their love for each other. He said it's going to increase over time. Number three, this is an interesting point. God grieves when he sees us hurting. Sin and evil cause pain, cause suffering, cause hurt. And you say, well, what does God think about all this when he sees people hurting from all these things I just read, abuse and assault and abandonment and all those other, God grieves when he sees his children hurting. It may surprise you to know that God has emotions. God has emotions. But why do you have emotions? The only reason you have emotions is you were made in God's image. The Bible says God gets angry. The Bible says God grieves. The Bible says God laughs. The Bible says God is sorrowful, he's sad. God has emotion. God is an emotional God. He feels things. When he sees us hurting each other, when he sees man's inhumanity to humanity, it bothers him. It grieves him. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, in Noah's day, the Lord was deeply grieved that he had made man, and his heart was filled with pain. His heart was filled with pain. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is this next one, John 11, 35. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's filled with importance. Why? Because it shows that God grieves. Jesus wept. God, when God sees you in pain, he grieves too, all right? And so like a parent watching a child in pain, look at this verse. The Bible says in Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all their suffering, he, that's God, suffered too. In all their suffering, he suffered too. I want you to write this down on your outline. God suffers with me.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, as one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's a roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. In The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll find answers to three of life's most important questions. The question of existence. Why am I alive? The question of significance. Does my life matter? The question of purpose. What on earth am I here for? You'll also discover the five benefits of knowing your purpose. The Purpose-Driven Life is designed to be read daily in 42 short chapters that will inspire you to stop and realize how God uniquely designed you for a purpose that only you can fulfill. It also includes links to 3-minute video introductions to each chapter and a 30 to 40 minute audio Bible study message for each chapter, along with appendixes and questions for further study and additional resources. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
So many of you support Daily Hope through your prayers and through your financial support, and I want to bless you with this letter from Rose to let you know what your prayers and your gifts are doing. Rose wrote, "Daily Hope has been a tremendous blessing to me. I've been a Christian for 10 years, but I didn't feel like I was growing spiritually. Reading the Bible was difficult, and I didn't get what I was reading. But through your Daily Hope messages and the devotionals, I've experienced the Word like never before. This year, I'm joining a small group for the first time, and every time I listen to Daily Hope, I feel like I'm in the room with some friends listening to you. Your messages are relevant and funny and engaging, and I'm now reading Purpose-Driven Life, and I pray for God to reveal His purpose for me." Signed, Rose. Rose, thank you so much for writing. I love getting letters, and you've encouraged me. You know, I started Daily Hope to help people just like you, to help you grow closer to God. So I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me and continue supporting this ministry. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.